Kitchen Rudimental, a series here on Blueprint for Living, in which Annie Smithers will investigate the very basics of kitchen craft. Get out in that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans. Annie, hello.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Now, it is our solemn duty to talk about eggs. Now, in this pursuit of the rudimentals of the kitchen, what could be, I wonder to myself, other than perhaps water and milk, more rudimental than an egg?
I don't think there is much more rudimental than an egg, but it's also a very good time to be talking about it because it's spring.
Is that good for chickens?
It's very good for chickens. You have to remember that birds like geese and ducks tend to only lay in spring. So I am.
They're finicky.
They just know the seasons. So I am inundated with eggs at the moment. I have chook eggs and goose eggs everywhere, and geese squabbling, and it's a nightmare.
What's your avian complement on the farm? What have you got? Head count.
Well, I don't count the chickens.
Until they're hatched.
Well, there's a few chickens. I think there's about 30 chickens. Mm-hmm. And my Susan keeps, I think she's down to 19 geese because she sold a few in readiness for spring. But given the activity that is happening, I think there may be more in 30-odd days or so.
All right, so we have a plethora
of eggs. We have a plethora of eggs at this time of year.
What are you going to do with them?
Well, when you talk about the rudimentals of cooking, there is, you know, eggs are part of so many things, but they're also this extraordinary standalone ingredient. So obviously there's your standard breakfast menu of would you like them poached, scrambled, fried. Then, of course, you can coddle them or you can make an omelette from them.
Coddling's a bit oldie-worldy these days, isn't it?
Coddling, cuddling. Yeah, you can buy coddlers. I've never quite understood why you would need a coddler, because it really performs the same job as the shell. It cooks it so that the white is cooked, but the yolk can be runny and you can dip things into it. What's wrong with serving it in the shell with the top cut off?
I'm completely bemused by the role that a coddler could play, so we'll...
Maybe it was something that sort of the artisans of 18th century England, of, you know, Wedgwood and the like, could make little decorative things.
What's a nice christening gift?
Well, it is, but I'd prefer a silver spoon.
All right, so the standalone eggs. We'll come back to the standalone egg. I'm intrigued momentarily about the egg as a sort of a compositional element. You know, the properties of the egg in baking, in other stuff, where it has other functions.
Well, you've got the yolk, which is basically fat, and you've got the white, which is more protein based. So, you know, those fitness types will often order an egg white omelette because it's full of protein, but it has no fat in it. Whereas the fat properties of an egg yolk are the things that we use in things like mayonnaise or custards, and they, you know, A, they're an element of fat, and B, they have this capacity to thicken. So eggs have these, you know, wonderful properties. You know, if you take the white on its own, as you know, you can whip it up into snow that you can fold into cakes. You can add sugar to that snow and you can create a meringue. And from that meringue, you can go on and make all manner of things, whether it be Swiss meringue, Italian meringue, buttercream icing, nougat, marshmallow, pavlova, on and on it goes. So you can separate the two parts of the egg to do two completely different things. And then you can use the egg as a whole to do a number of other things.
I love that thing. You know, this is such common territory across so many different styles of cooking. So you just know that there is this long history over millennia of people with this thing, this egg that's popped out of their chook, working out stuff to do with it and experimenting.
I think that, but that's part of the wonderful history of cooking and cuisine. I mean, I did have a staff member ask me, quite recently, sort of, how do you think they worked out how to use an egg? you know, when who discovered that you could eat it? And I presume that it's sort of caveman stuff where it just sort of fell out of a tree and they thought, oh, it's all right. And, you know, I mean, does Maggie like eggs?
Maggie is extremely fond of an egg. She's just cocked an ear. It's probably the use of her name.
Yes. And it is an ingredient that has been, you know, probably came to mankind as a wild thing, and we have developed, you know, a very soft spot for the egg.
So what's your favourite thing to do with an egg?
Ooh, that list is very long. I think comfort food-wise, I'm a soft yolk poached person. Mm-hmm. I can't. The only food I've ever sent back in a restaurant is when I've asked for softly poached eggs and got them a bit firm.
That's the only thing?
It's the only thing I've ever sent back.
You're normally very forgiving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I appreciate someone going to cook for me. So I think a softly poached egg is one of my favourites. And a beautifully crafted omelette is a true delight, especially in spring with a bit of, you know, at this time of year you have that beautiful marriage of, you know, the fresh seasoned eggs and then, you know, the fin herbs like, you know, chervil and chives and parsley, just, you know, that first flush of growth, and then, you know, add a little bit of steamed asparagus and a little bit of Gruyere and life's very good.
And it's wonderfully simple, it's the nice thing. I mean, there's such richness and such a sort of a bounteous flavour around an egg and the things you make with them. They stand alone pretty nicely.
They do, you know. And look, there is sort of, you know, there are obviously people that don't eat eggs because they can't eat eggs or they choose not to eat eggs. And there is some, you know, it's a funny thing because, yeah, there is stuff with vegans that say they don't eat eggs because chickens eat meat meal and things. So a lot of the food has got meat in it, so therefore they don't eat the byproduct of that. And it is a question that I, you know, I'm very aware of, you know, all of these reasons why people do and don't eat things. But I do keep chickens, and chickens, like dogs and cats and things, they need to peck around, and they love a good slug. I like to find a slug under an upturned flower pot.
You see, eggs like sausages, you don't really want to know precisely what goes into the manufacture.
Well, you don't. And then of course, there's a whole concept of the fact that, you know, a chicken is born with, you know, that many embryos in it to, you know, have that many eggs in its lifetime.
Fridge or larder for your egg storage?
A larder for mine. Larder for mine because my eggs come from my yard. So you do find that with a lot of commercial eggs is that they have been refrigerated beforehand, and it's usually pretty sound to actually, yeah, keep them refrigerated. So it depends on your source of your eggs and where they've been stored, because when it comes down to it, they can also be quite a, you know, there's an element of danger with eggs because chickens carry salmonella. So that's one of the reasons why we're so careful about them, and that there is, you know, there are a lot of rules around the farming and the processing of eggs.
And it's important too, it's, you know, everybody is, I think, well, most people these days are very keen to get as free a range an egg as they can, and you've got the optimal situation there of having them in your backyard.
Yeah.
But the densities on packaging, there's such a range in what can be called free range.
Yeah, it's... You need a mathematics degree to understand it some days. But there is, you know, in real terms, there is the fact that you know, for example, in your backyard here, you could reasonably keep two little hens. You could keep two little bantams out there. They could have a lovely time, you know, give you, you know,
probably digging up everything in the garden.
Well, that's where you have to choose your poultry correctly. Because there's all sorts of breeds that don't do as much damage as having a big fat Australorp, you know, girl out there sitting on things and scratching at things going. You can have delicate little bantams where you get tiny little white eggs, which are just perfect amount for, you know, the household of a week.
But you trade off. You got your eyes are brown as you'll bang one out every day like clockwork. Well, you got your bantam, which will take weeks off at a time.
Well, you know, you're probably sick of eggs. If you've kept an Isa Brown or two in your life, you know you can't get you can't. There's too many.
You can get sick.
You can get sick of them and run out of friends to give them to.
All right. So next time we're going to take some of this egg knowledge and we're going to stick it in a pan.
Yep.
What do we make?
I think that we should make an omelette because they're my favourite, and I think we should poach some eggs and talk about the various sort of myths and legends about poaching eggs. How does that sound?
Job done. Annie, thank you.
Pleasure. I said shake, rattle and roll. I said shake, rattle and roll. I said shake.